Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Your 1 Hour Inspirational Program. I'm your host for the evening. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 90 minutes. We've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight, and I want you to be able to just check it out because you know what? You're going to be very happy that you did. Tonight we're going to be talking about something that's very sensitive, near and dear to my heart, and I trust that it's also sensitive and dear. Near and dear to your heart as well. Tonight's broadcast is, what is your mind's image of who God the Trinity is? What is your mind's image of who God the Trinity is? We're going to invite the presence of the Lord into our program tonight. Father, we thank you for your blessings of each day. And now, Lord, as we go into a subject that's near and dear to my heart, we pray that you would come in and, Lord, reveal some things to us tonight. That through those who join this discussion, that, Lord, we will be able to take from here and have more faith. It will increase our faith in knowing who you are in the Trinity. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and bring in one of my co-hosts who's already in. We're going to bring in Miss J. Miss J, we're just waiting on her to press 1 so that we'll know that she's in the queue. And we're going to be able to bring her in. Some of my other co-hosts will be joining us momentarily. I know it's early on some parts of where they are, but they will be joining us. Let's go ahead and bring in Ms. J. Ms. J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure to have you as part of our team.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here tonight.
All right, let me begin with you before we're waiting for our other co-hosts to join in. We've got a lot to cover tonight, you all. You will definitely want to be a part of this here. Let's go ahead and bring in Sir Benny. He's also joining us as one of our co-hosts. Sir Benny, it's always an honor and pleasure for you to take time out to join us on our weekly shows. Sir Benny, perhaps you're on mute.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Good evening. Good evening. I'm thankful to be here tonight. Happy Friday, everybody. And it's a pleasure to be here. I'm sorry for my flight tardiness. I was engaged in a project,
okay.
And I'm still engaged, but I'm glad to be here.
We're so happy to have you. Sir Benny, I want to ask you, tonight's topic is very dear and near to my heart, and it's a very important topic where we anticipate a lot of people that will be calling in. Perhaps they may or may not say anything, but they're looking to learn and take something with this from this particular show, as they do with all of the shows. Tonight's topic is, what is your mind's image of who God the Trinity is? And so, I mean, this can bring a lot of questions. In fact, I was in the barbershop today, and we were talking about this. And the guy who cut my hair is from Peru. And he was very adamant about this conversation that we're going to be having tonight. Because he says, you know, with everything that's going on in South America, what's going on in Asia, parts of what's going on in throughout the United States, not just the pandemic, but people are, as a result of the pandemic and other measures, it's like the world is out of control. And he wants to know, like, the big question is, where is God in all of this? And he feels religion doesn't work for everybody. It works for his grandmother because it gives her hope. So tonight we're asking the question, what is your mind's image of who God the Trinity is? And let's start with you, Sir Ben. What is your mind's image of who God is?
Well, first of all, God is the beginning, the middle, the end. He knows all from the beginning, the middle, and the end. And he's the one that created me. He created us as humans. He created mankind as we know it to be today. And so for anyone who has, and which we always talk about free choice and free will, you have the free choice and free will to decide whether or not you want to believe him. He is not an omniscient type God that tells you, or tyrant that tells you, you must believe him and you must believe. Satan is that. That's what Satan does. Satan is always tempting you to worship him because he wants you to believe in him. But God is not like that. God is a loving God. He's a giving God. And so when people start talking about, well, this is going on, this is happening, these things are happening in the world, that tells me the immaturity of the person who's speaking, because they haven't read the Bible, they haven't delved into the Bible, they don't understand the Bible. And that's for many of people. They believe in their pastors and their leaders, what the Bible is saying to them, and they kind of, you know, learn from that through verbal communication. But in all cases, we still have to read for ourselves and know that the things that are going on now have already been talked about in the Bible for many, many thousands of years ago. So everything that we are experiencing now has already been given to us. We understand what time we're in. We understand in the last days men's hearts shall be hardened and they shall become mean and selfish and self-serving. And we understand that there's an emancipation of men. We understand that. But that was already pre-given to us from way back when. So when people say, where is God now? God has always been the same place he's always been. He's been a loving God. He's been watching over us, taking care of us. We just, even this pandemic thing, yes, we did lose a lot of lives and souls, but it could have been a whole lot worse. It could have been half the population could have been wiped out with this particular pandemic. But thank God that he was able to give men knowledge to be able to come up with a vaccine to slow the progression of this vaccine down. But God has always been where he was. He's still there in heaven. He's still answering prayers. He's still taking care of us, and he is still watching over us. And if you could say, where is God? He's already been there for you because he woke you up and he's allowed you to go on your way to be able to do the job that he's allowed you to do. And so if your barber's cutting your hair, he's doing the works of what he's been manifested to do. And so in that pretense, God has taken care of him even in that situation.
Okay, so now, Ms. G, I'm going to bring you in. Sir Ben, we're going to have you stand by for a moment. Missy, I want to bring you in. So we're hearing what Sir Ben is saying, and certainly I want to even present my image of God, who God the Trinity is. So if this is the case, God is in the same place that he's been for thousands of years. Where, in fact, is that place? And why would he even allow the world to seemingly be out of control?
Well, God... Well, how I look at God is like he is one. He is God, and he's divided into three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I see him as being, as our Father and Son, as being like a perfect body and with the Holy Spirit. And I see God working in harmony for all of us, but we can all do his will and the goal. And the purpose of the Trinity is for us to work together and to meet the goal of man. And he is a divine and equal, and he gives us divine and equal rights. I feel God has ownership over our lives also, and he desired for us to be disciples of Jesus, and he wants us to have a relationship with him. And he's still with us, but we got to get that relationship with him.
So, Ms. J, are you saying he gives us – I want to make sure I get clarity on this. You say he gives us divine and equal rights? What does that mean?
No, I meant God has divine – What I'm trying to say is that there's an order in the Trinity. You know, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, it's a certain order. And all three of those, if I'm saying it wrong, have divine and equal rights. So he wants us to follow that order, to obey him and to obey Jesus and to get into the Holy Spirit. So he gives all of us the right to get into those three aspects, of which is one is God, but we have to work in all three.
All right, we've got a live one for you all tonight, and you know, and I'm certainly looking to see what I can learn from this discussion tonight, because we have triggers, and part of those triggers are when when something is said, it triggers something that comes in either through the production that will trigger something else. Like in law, they have buzzwords, you know, that trigger what a legal issue may allude to. And so the same thing here, there are triggers. So one of the, how I see God as the image, I'm saying now, all right, so we're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I used to, as a child, try to put this when I hear the Trinity, meaning three in one. I used to try to put back to that, okay, a Father. And I tried to imagine that as there's a Father, that there's the authoritarian being. And then there's the Son, okay? And then I tried to put it in perspective that if a man has a son, and then you've got the Holy Spirit, and I must admit, you all, it was kind of confusing to try to dissect this as a young teenager. And it's like three in one, and they're all on the same accord. The Father knows what the Son is thinking. The Son knows what the Father is thinking. The Holy Spirit knows what they're both thinking. And they're all entwined into one. And we're going to be discussing some of that tonight. And so as I got older, I saw when I started to talk with people or hear conversations that people would say, well, you know, I question whether God exists or not. Then I began to say, well, you know what? Even if you don't want to believe in God or a supernatural being, then something put that sun, the moon, the galaxies, the oceans, something greater than who we are as a physical, as man, with a carnal mind, with limitations, something greater, a system that's greater than us, had to put this out there. We want to hear from you all tonight, and I'm going to continue with my thoughts momentarily on how what my mindset is relative to the image of God. Let's go to the phone lines, then we're going to go back to Sir Benny in a moment. Let's go to 407-862. Welcome to the one-hour inspirational program. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Good evening, Dr. Jesse. This is Sister Marva.
Sister Marva, thank you for joining us. Sister Marva, your thoughts on, you know, your image of who God, the Trinity, is.
Okay. I believe that there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are they're all one, but they're separate entities, and they have different jobs to do. Like our government has, it's the one government we have, democratic government, but we have three areas, aspects, the judicial, the legislative, and the, what's the other one?
Executive. Right.
Exactly. And they pretty much know what all is doing, but each has a different service to do. And that's how I visualize the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, so I mean, if you're going to use the analogy that to make that simile with the government, your judicial system, the judicial, executive, and legislative branches, then yes, they all have roles and functions, but sometimes they're not in agreement, they're not in harmony, they're not in sync, because I've had to call some of these branches of government, and then they're going to switch you over here, and then even within that department, they're switching you over here and over there and everywhere else. And it's like, well, goodness, you would think that these people communicate with each other. But unlike them, those branches of government, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are on the same page. We're going to bring Sir Benny in. And Sir Benny, as we look at this here, God, that Trinity. Now, we have those who are saying that God is a supernatural being in our life form. And then you've got those who say that, and we're looking for your opinion here, and we have those who say that God is the Spirit transformed into Jesus, who became the Son, who came to earth. And then you got those who say, well, the Holy Spirit is the air that we breathe and so forth and so on, which is also a part of God. So now, okay, we're saying that, so then who does that make God to be? Because you have people that say God is not in human form. God is a spirit. And so when you hear some preachers pray and they say, God, let us be your hands. Let us be your feet, that we move, that we touch things, that we get things done. What are your thoughts on that?
First of all, God is the beginning. And so when you have an entity as God and a deity as God, he's the beginning. That means everything was created from God. So in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God. So that's telling you that everything that has been manifested begins with him. And so a lot of times we, because we are so carnal in our little minds, and we only see what we see and we can understand what we understand. I'm not saying that we're dumb or don't have the ability, but we can't understand the whole identity of who God is because we haven't allowed ourselves to just immerse ourselves into the spirit of who God is. We're so busy trying to find out what God is and what he's not that we're missing the essence of who God is. God is the one that is daily perfecting us to be better at who we are daily. He wakes us up every day, daily, with the intent that he wants us to be better than the day before. But we're sitting here trying to complicate the whole situation. I always ask people on a regular basis, who woke you up this morning? Did you wake yourself up this morning? I guarantee you a lot of people say, yeah, well, the alarm clock, my phone, a noise, something woke me up this morning. I always ask another basic, simple question. Can you tell your blood in your body to stop pumping and stop moving? Can you tell your eyes not to blink? Can you tell your brain not to think? Can you tell your heart not to beat? Stop yourself from breathing, to hold your breath? No. Those things are all harmoniously put together to work for the good of the body. The body. That means if your brain is operating, your heart is operating, your lungs is operating, your blood is pumping, everything is operating the way it should be. Perfection is in occurrence as to who we are. God, the body, the heart, the lungs, the liver represents all the different entities of who he is inside of us. The Ruach, when you say the Holy Spirit, the breath, it's called the Ruach of life. God blew the Ruach. He took his living being and he blew into man, and man had life. Before man was just He was just there. He didn't know how to do nothing. He was just there. And then it says when God blew the Ruach, when he blew the breath of life into man, man became a living being.
Right.
He became a living being. And so who's better to know what was the creator, know the creator better than the creator? As a father, we know our children. If we've done what we're supposed to do, we know how they act, how they think, because we see them, we see us in them, just younger. Mothers see their image of them, their daughters just younger. So we know our children, good, bad, and different, whatever. We know that because we could see things and go, oh, okay. We were the creator of them, and they've been created through us, and so we see us in them. That's the same thing with God. God designed, he made Adam and Eve, he designed them to be like him. Like him.
Okay, all right. Well, that's very interesting. That is particularly interesting. But so the question becomes then the omniscience of God. When we talk about the omniscience of God, and Sir Ben, we're going to bring you back in on that one, but just before we do, let's go to Sister Marva and Miss Jay. Sister Marva, let's start with you. When we talk about the omniscience of God, that's that he's everywhere present at the same time. How can that possibly be? Is it that we want to put limitations on God because of our carnal mindset, because we can only think to a certain height or development or degree? So, Sister Marva, then when you think about the image of who God the Trinity is, when we talk about omniscient, Then, no, omniscient is all-knowing, all-knowing. Omnipresent is everywhere at the same time. So when we talk about omniscient, that he's all-knowing, then how is that? How can God be all-knowing? How can he be all-knowing? And if that's the case, then did he not know that the devil, that iniquity will be found in the devil's heart to cause all of this confusion and chaos?
I cannot answer that question. But I can say that to be omnipresent, I like to think of it this way, that water has three forms. It has the solid, the liquid, and the gas. And that's water. And it can be, the gas can be everywhere at the same time. Like, let's say you're driving through some fog. That's all water. And it's everywhere at the same time. And that's my analogy of God being everywhere at the same time. Because they're all three, it's equally water. Because if you condense that and it becomes a liquid, you can put it in the refrigerator and it becomes a solid. So that's how I believe. But the other question about how, if God knew that there was going to be sin, I don't know how to answer that. I know that he is an all-knowing God, but how does he know everything? I don't know.
All right, we're gonna.
I'd like to say just one more thing. If you had a dog that's a friend of yours, you know, he, every day you see him, you love him, he loves you, you walk around, and one day you say, "Hey, Fido, I'm going to go to the bank and write a check, you know, because I need to pay the university." Does the dog know what you mean? He has no clue.
Right.
No clue. So we have no clue about anything more than God has revealed to us. Whatever is secret remains a secret with him, and that's biblical.
Okay, so is that by
design? Sir.
But then would God not be transparent to us? Ms. J, let me bring you in here before we bring in Sir Ben. Ms. J, would God purposely deceive us? Would he purposely deceive us?
No, I don't think he would, no. You know, I'm looking at it, God, he knows all, and I'm just thinking, I'm probably wrong, but I feel he searches the mind of man. And he seek out, you know, what's going on. And that's how he knows a lot of things. He seeks through the mind of man. That's my thought. But to get back to something else you mentioned, God, only the created things have a creator. So my understanding is God, he always existed. He was never created. No, you know, and he is the creator. And I think one time you asked something about obeying God. Everybody obeys God. The Son, Jesus, he obeys God, and the Holy Spirit, he obeys the Father and the Son, and that's how the Holy Spirit is able to breathe the breath, because he obeys what God and the Son has told him to do. So that's how I'm seeing it.
All right, we're gonna ask you to stand by. Let me just go to the phone lines before we bring Sir Ben back in. Let me go to 561-396. Who do we have? And welcome. Thank you for joining us this evening. And
evening,
you for
Dr. Jesse. Good evening, everyone. This is Beverly. How is everyone doing?
Thank you for joining us, Beverly. What is your mind's image of God? Do you see God as a spirit that has always existed? If so, I mean, so there was a beginning. If there was in the beginning, the word, the logos, that's another form of the word, the logos. became a living being. So then, do you see God as there had to be an origin and there's an end, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So the beginning, okay, it's like, okay, I'm going to start college. So there was a beginning of my starting my college education. There was a beginning. So when the Bible says there was a beginning, was there a beginning of God? And who can begin God but God himself? How do you see that?
And you said that right. No one can begin God but God himself. And God said that in Genesis 1. You know, he said from the beginning he was God, and everything he spoke, it came into life. So nobody cannot fathom God. Nobody cannot say where God was, because he didn't go into that. You just know that he said, let us do this, let us do that, let us do that, from Genesis 1 to 6. And he was putting the world together. So God is a spirit. The scripture clearly said that. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You know, we can't make God a normal man. He needs our bodies to work through, but God is a spirit. And
okay,
we just have
so
to believe that he does exist.
Right. So you're saying then that God is a spirit. God is not man. But Jesus is man. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, because the spirit needed a body to become man. So that's why the spirit impregnated Mary to bring forth Jesus as a man. But he was spirit man. Just like we are spirit being, Jesus was all spirit.
Okay, so was Jesus, now this is going to baffle some of you all, but listen, this is an educational process. The information presented is for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, if this is the case, and we're talking the Bible, whether we're talking the Old Testament or the New Testament, but let's take a look at this, for example, that the Bible says, I mean, it's getting so deep it's about to escape me, but the Bible says that the Spirit of God moves upon the waters, the Spirit mm-hmm. of God. So it almost sounds as if, could that infer that there was a spirit that left God, whomever was behind that caused the spirit to leave God and move upon the waters? Or was that God altogether that moved upon the waters, and was Jesus back there in the beginning? Let me stay with you for a second before we go to Sir Ben. Beverly, was Jesus back there in the beginning with God?
Yes, because there's a scripture that Jesus said that, I think he said before Abraham was something like that, he was. Jesus was there from the beginning. I believe that. Jesus was there from the beginning. We don't know how God came about, because he never went into details about that. He just started from Genesis. And then there was a Father, Son, and a Holy Ghost from day one.
And you're saying that Jesus was back there with God. Let me go to Sister Marvin mm-hmm. just for a second. And Sir Benny, I know we're going to bring you in, and I know you're itching to get in, and you're going to make some clarity for a lot of this stuff. Sister Marvin, let me ask you, was Jesus back there with God in the beginning?
Yes. Yes, he was.
What evidence does the Bible show that you have evidence of that?
Well, in Genesis,
Peter, let me find it. I'll find that scripture for you. Let me get my tablet.
Okay, but while you're doing that, Sister Marva, give me your thoughts. While you're doing that, Beverly, give me your thoughts.
Well, when God said, let's make man in our own image.
Okay, there we go. Now you're talking. Go ahead. Who was he talking to? Who was he talking to? Was he talking to the angels?
Who was he talking to? No, because the angels weren't created yet.
Oh, they were not?
I don't think so.
Oh, so you're saying then that God created man before he created the angels? Sister Marva, really? All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, let's bring you in. Sir Ben. No, I'm not trying to make mockery out of anyone. I'm just asking these questions because I want us to take from here. So when we come out of this, it's so thought-provoking that we're going to probably go and search for ourselves so that we will have
at least an idea, even if we don't have the full answers, we may have an idea, because when other people start to want to learn something, we may be able to share something with them that perhaps may or may not make more sense. So, Ben, let's bring you in. What's your thoughts on any of this?
Well, when the Godhead is what we call them, we're having a conversation about the creation of man. The angels were all in tune to the conversation. They were listening to it. And as we know, by that time, Satan had already kind of come to his iniquitous spirit, and he had already kind of converted a third of the angels to kind of follow him. And so that's why when God created man and man was put in the garden, that's why the serpent was there. He was already there. He had already been banished from heaven, so he was already roaming the earth because it was nothing. He was just roaming. So, yes, they were already in existence. Now, if you notice, the word became powerful in the sense that the word became Jesus, basically. Jesus became the word. And he became the officiator of the word. That's why he came here, to give the word that it may go on and go on for generations until the end of time. And so with that being known, that's why when after Jesus was the birth of Jesus, and, you know, he remember God kept Jesus in secret until it was his time. Everything is in the right timing. Jesus was not out there doing miracles and stuff. You know, God, God said, no, I got to keep you while I'm developing you to become all the things I need you to be, because your time is short. Because once I unleash you into the public, your time is going to be short. So he had to make sure he was developed properly over time. And so when we talk about God, God knows not only the number of grains that's on the beach, this number of grains of sand on the beach, he knows the exact number. He also knows the exact number of hairs on your head. And you know, on a day-to-day basis, hairs are falling off your head and hairs are growing. He knows the exact numbers. So that tells you that the God that we have, he knows everything. He said, I knew you before you were ever in your mom's womb, which tells us that our spirits were already in connection with God before we ever were conceived. So there's so much to this that we could, you know, that we could just dive into, and of course we don't have enough time. But the most important part is, forget what you think you know and believe that there is something greater that wants even greater for us in our lives, and he wants us to live forever the way it was supposed to be.
Right.
Pre-sin. He wants us to live. Everything we're experiencing now is going to die. And then we're going to go to heaven, and then he's going to recreate the earth to be what it originally was, the original Garden of Eden, and we're going to come back here and we're going to live forever and ever in peace and harmony. Because the last deed that has to be dealt with is death.
It's death.
Because
it's
death was not supposed to be a part of the equation at first. That would be
right.
That's
the last enemy
that he had. Yes.
There you go. Yeah, that's the last enemy of man. And see, so now, but you're saying, Sir Ben, that Jesus was kept in secret. But was he really kept in secret? Because he was back there with God as part of the Trinity. The Word became flesh, which was Jesus. The Word became flesh. So he was back there when he was saying, let us make man in our own image. It was only when the conception took place. Now, this is only my opinion, you all. The conception took place when the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. And all of a sudden now, the birth of Jesus. But Jesus was back there with God. Let us make man in our own image. And then, iniquity was found in Lucifer's heart because he wanted to be equal to Jesus. He wanted to be equal. He wanted to be part of the Trinity. And the fact of the matter is he was fourth in charge. He was fourth in charge.
Most people don't notice, but he was actually at the meeting when they were having the meeting.
Yes. And what happened was because he didn't have a vote in the matter. You see what I'm saying? Help me here. He didn't have a vote in the matter, which caused him to really kind of rebel here. But he was so powerful. Watch this now. Watch this. He was so powerful that he could actually influence one-third of the angels to go against the God, the creator. And I believe that the angels were created before man because they are created as one step higher than man. Sir Benny, touch on that.
Yes, but even though we say that they were created one step higher, the angels actually admired the creation of man. They admired how
we operate,
how we are able to create life. Because the angels can't create life, but man can create life and at his own time. And so they were fascinated by that. So there was like an over hallelujah because, hey, this is amazing to us because we had not seen anybody be able to create life except the Almighty God. Wow.
Right. Right.
Think about how excited it is. They had not seen nothing else created except God. And now God created something that can now recreate what it is. That's amazing.
Right. And then what even was even more like astonishing to the angels was when God created Eve out of Adam. When Eve came along, this was more than the icing on the cake. This blew their minds completely. Because they had never, I mean, it's just even Lucifer himself, which ultimately became Satan the devil, he was even fascinated at how could God do this? Wow. You know what? I mean, it's just so deep. Miss J, let me bring you in. We haven't forgotten you all, and we want to hear from the rest of you all as well. Press one on your dial. Miss J, let me bring you in. Is this, I mean, what are you taking from some of this? I mean, it's like how, you know, when we talk about the image of God, who God, the Trinity is, this is like so powerful that it's even mind-boggling for me to even decipher because it's so deep. Give me your thoughts on all of this.
Well, it's definitely deep for me, and I'm learning a lot tonight. But a lot of this is still in the unknown. So I guess that's all we can do is give our speculation on some of it. Some of it is in the Bible, of course. But like, you know, God being existent first or how he came about and all that, it's mind-bending. It makes you think.
Well, what I'm saying, and I'm only going by what is in the Bible. Sir Ben, are you coming with anything that might not be in the Bible? I mean, when we talk about, the only evidentiary that I can relate to is what's in the Bible. And then you go to maybe Hebrew or Greek for further and clarity of understanding. Sir Ben, are you getting yours from anywhere else?
No, sir. I'm getting it straight from the Word, from the Holy Spirit, because just so that you all know, before I speak, I always ask the Holy Spirit to direct my thoughts, my words, that it may be manifesting to God, to give glory to God. It's not about me or nobody else or what I'm saying. No. I'm excited because I'm excited about who God is and how God operates. It's exciting to me. So I want to make sure my excitement and obedience is to who God is, not to anything else.
Right. And see, that's why I even pray before to invite God into this, to educate, to lead, to direct, to guide us. And all of them saying, Ms. J, is coming from Bible, my understanding of what the Bible says. And listen, let me tell you something. I've dealt so deeply with trying to figure out, you know, what is this all about so that it can make sense in my own mind as it relates to my image of who God is in the Trinity, when it comes to the Trinity. Let me go ahead and bring in, I'm going to ask you to stand by. Let's bring in Beverly. Beverly, let's bring you back in. Tomorrow we're going to come to you in a moment. We want to hear from the rest of you all out there as well. Beverly,
okay, can I quickly read a scripture for you all?
Sure, please.
Okay, it's from John 1, and I'm going to try to read it as fast as I can. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came into his own, unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was Jesus. So there you go. Jesus was a mystery just as God was a mystery.
Right, but Jesus,
Jesus was back there
with God. And see, the
thing is, he was back there with God.
He was back there with God, but at the same time, John, you're talking about John the Baptist, whom they refer
John
to.
John the Baptist came to bear witness of him to the world that he was real before.
Right, and he prophesied about the Messiah coming. And the same John knew that he was coming, and what happened was this was John who baptized Jesus. And Jesus knew who John was, and John knew
even
who
before
God
they
was.
Were born. Because remember when Mary and Elizabeth was pregnant, the babies leaped in their stomach, in Elizabeth's stomach, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth.
Okay, all right. Sir Ben, go ahead. You wanted to jump in. You're on mute.
I'm sorry. What was the question? I mean, that is all correct. Yes, that is all true. So is there a question in that?
No. Actually, what we were looking at, did you have a question, Beverly? Or were you just confirming or certifying that Jesus was back there with God in the beginning?
Confirming. I was confirming.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I am in agreement with you on that. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. And so now, where come with, it's like the question was asked earlier, and it wasn't even addressed, really. Then, would God deliberately, would he sort of, deceive us? Would God deceive us? Would God intentionally deceive us?
No. God is not a deceiver. That is of Satan. Satan is a great deceiver, so God would not deceive us. God is always omnipresent, and he's always forthcoming and forthtelling. And so, God cannot be a deceiver. He cannot.
Okay.
Because he loves us too much to even try to do that.
Right. So, Sir Benny, let's say all of us have kids on here. Certainly I do. And my job as a parent is one of the jobs is to protect my kids from the things that they do not know. Is that fair to say, Sir Benny, as a parent yourself?
Yes, that's a fair statement.
Okay. Would you test your kids, Sir Ben? Would you test them to see if they're going to be obedient to you? Would you do that?
Remember, we're operating in the carnal. So as parents, we're operating in the carnal. We should not be operating in the carnal. We should try to operate in the presence and the spirit of God. And so God should, he gives us the ability to have discernment over what we know. So God already has given us information about what we're about to do, so we don't have to deceive anybody or really test anybody, because he's already given us discernment. You can walk up to me, and if you have good intentions, God has already put the discernment in me to say, be careful, because he doesn't have any goodness for you. So I don't need to test that person about that. It's already been imparted into me about what God has already told me about that person. So I need to just push on down the road. I don't need to be trying to test him. That's what Satan did. See, that's what Satan did with Eve. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm very glad you brought that up.
Yeah. That's where we're going with it. But first, I wanted to answer a question. Would we test our children? Certainly, I would test my children. I will test my children on something to see if they're going to be obedient. Does that mean that I'm deceiving them? Does that mean that I'm leading them into temptation? Come on, talk to me, Sir Ben.
Well, yes, you are, because you're putting them in a position to, according to your standards and what your expectations are, to either fail or succeed. And so you got to remember.
But I wouldn't do that, Sir Ben, unless I have already given them prior warning, which is what you were saying earlier. I've given them prior warning and given them instruction.
Yes.
And now I'm going to test them to see if they have learned the lesson from my instructions on knowing do not touch this poison ivory. The day you touch this, it's going to change your body altogether. So stay away from that. I'm warning you about even the associations that you pick. I'm warning you about this.
Correct.
I'm warning you about the drugs that you do. So now you may put something out there. Does that mean I'm deceiving them? Or does that mean that I'm testing them? Does it mean that I'm deliberately leading them into temptation by putting it out there?
Well,
and you know where I'm going with this
says,
because I'm talking about the garden of the tree of life.
Yes. And the word tells us to raise up a child in the way that they should go, so that when they are older, they shall not depart. So you got to look at the point from and the way that they should go, and you got to also look at the part so that when they are older. The blessing is in the olderness, because what he's saying is if you get old enough, you're going to come back to me that which I've given you, which your father and mother has imparted into you. You're going to come back to me and give me all the praises and glory.
Right.
But we got to also see that part in between. That part in between is the prodigal son. That part in between is the prodigal son.
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah. And I want you to go where you were going earlier, and I sort of interrupted you, and I apologize for that. You were going I talked about that tree of the tree of life, and see what had happened was the question was, would God deliberately deceive us? Would He test us? Would He lead us into temptation? Now here goes the tree of life in the midst of the garden, in the midst of the garden, and so all of a sudden now. But remember, God had given Adam instructions of all the trees in this garden. But he put it in the middle of the garden. And he says, of all the trees, but this one here, do not touch. But he had already told him, the day you touch this one, you shall surely die. So now, because of Adam's free will and Eve's free will, then the serpent came along and deceived her. But why would God put that tree in the center unless he had given man prior knowledge? Don't touch it. I test my children by putting the stuff out there and watch to see what they're going to do to exercise their own free will and to see if their obedience is what I'm after. Talk to me, Sir Ben.
Okay, so let's go back real quick. The tree wasn't about Adam and Eve. The tree was a comment that Satan made to God saying, I'm telling you that if they had the opportunity, they would take the chance to not worship and serve you. That was all that
Come
was
on.
About. It was a conversation between Satan and God. Now, that because he already knew. What he was doing was he was calling God, you're like a tyrant. You're just keeping them under your wrath, and they only serve you because they don't have no other options or whatever. So God allowed that to happen only because Satan had made a statement, and so God said, okay, I made him with their free will, so here we go. And so now that's why we are leading down the path and the journeys and some of the things we have done and experiencing and witnessing because of our disobedience. It has nothing to do with nothing. God loves us so much. All he wants us to do, which is just like you were saying, like when you say about testing your kids to see if you don't give them enough love, wisdom, understanding, instructions, and direction to see if they can move on with their life and do the right thing. That's what you were doing.
Right.
You weren't trying to hurt them, deceive them, or try to hurt them. It was just a matter of will you do the right thing? Will you?
That's
what's
that
part
of called?
The
protection.
Do the right thing. Do the right thing.
That's part of the protection.
Yeah.
That's part of the protection. So then, so the question becomes now, Ben, and we're going to bring the rest of you all in a moment. But the question becomes now then has the battle has never been about mankind. It's never been about
no.
The battle has always been about God and Lucifer. That's the best. You know, we wrestle with principalities in the high places. So it's never been about us. It's them. And see, the only thing that some people don't recognize is that, see, Lucifer, there was some truth to what he was saying about, you know, calling God out and saying the only way they worship you is out of fear. And God says, no, you know, out of fear. No, if you let them do what they want to do, they won't worship you. God gave us that free will. And guess what? A third of the angels, can you imagine God's own creation, a third of them in that state decided to go with Lucifer. That still is mind-boggling. That still is
mind-boggling. Because he deceived them, just like he deceived the human beings called Adam and Eve. He did exactly what he told God. So they only worship you because – so he put the same faith, a lie. He put a lie to what God's truth was. And that's why people are asking the question now about God. He put a lie to the truth. He put
he
a
sure
lie
did.
To the truth.
He said,
oh, if you eat of the tree, you won't surely die. He didn't lie.
That's
he just
right.
put a lie to the truth.
And he has been setting out throughout this creation period, he's been setting out to try to make God out of a liar. Because, see, God could have turned around, and then because the people had a fear, God could have destroyed everything that he created and started over again. But because of us, he chose not, and he's going to let – he's letting even the other worlds that exist – that's right, I said it, you all, there are other worlds that exist. He's letting everybody see that if God is not this tyrant that we make him out to be, because what happens is God is going to show that the devil himself will destroy himself by his own lies. And what's going to happen with that is man will be able to look and the other worlds will be able to look and say, surely God is just. Surely God is holy. Surely God is righteous. Talk to me, Sir Ben.
And truly God is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, period.
So help me God, that's right. And he can only say that to himself. It's just like when Jesus was on the cross. Many of you all may not even be aware of this. But when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out. And you remember how many times he cried out, Father? He cried out, Father. He cried out, I believe it was two times. And he didn't even cry out, if I'm not mistaken, a third time. Because then he would have been crying out to himself, who is also God. When he could have had angels come down and deal with everything that was taking place. Whoa,
that's right.
This is a deep one tonight.
And do you know why he was crying out?
He was crying out for man.
Everybody on this planet. The reason he was crying out was because Jesus really didn't want to die. He loved being
no,
alive.
He didn't. Not
he
at all.
He liked being here in humanity in human form. He had an infinity love for us in a human form. He loved being a human.
Right.
He loved it.
Mm-hmm.
He loved being man. Even though he was divinity wrapped up in man, but he loved the whole experience of being a man. He loved the experience. That's why he was like, can this cut my past from me? Because I really like this.
Right.
I understand why you love them. I understand why we love them. I understand how we love them. Because I'm love. And because I'm love, I want to hold on to the human entity that we have in it. That's why I keep telling people God loves us so. He don't even describe it. He just says so. That means it encompasses so many different things because he understood humankind. And he
loved us. That's right. That
he
is his that's his prime. That's his prime creation. And he cried out because he said, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me, the cup of death. And that's what he was crying out for. But we're going to ask you all to stand by and know. Listen, I appreciate all of you all patience. I didn't mean to get so, but this is so thought-provoking. This is so deep. Let's go to 786-319. Welcome, you're live. Who do we have with us?
Hello, Dr. Walker and Benny on the block, Lady C, and everyone on the call. This is Sister Marjorie. Hello.
Sister Marjorie, thank you for joining us. Sister Marjorie, what do you take from all of this that we're saying? Like, I know it's a mouthful, but what are you taking from some of it?
Well, basically, you know, as he was saying that about what did you really want to find out, though? I don't know.
Yeah, well, did you how do you see the image? What goes into your mindset of the image of God in terms of the Trinity? Do you see God as a man walking like Sir Benny and I as we walk on this planet with two legs? Do you see him as a spirit? Or do you just see him as the air?
No, I see God. I see him as a spirit. Because if a God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I do see him as a spirit, not as a man, as a spirit.
So, Sister Margie, how do we worship him in spirit and truth? How do we? There's two things. So it's saying worship him in spirit. And then it's saying, and in truth. That means in addition to worshiping him in spirit, you got to worship him in truth as well. So what does that mean?
Well, that I'm not sure.
Okay, so Sister Margie, let me ask you this question then. So if the devil has set out to destroy the image of how our mindset is of God, and God has given us instructions on his word of what to do, even when it comes to the fourth commandment, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. And God didn't just say that in Exodus 20. When you look throughout the first chapter, several chapters of Leviticus, God emphasizes the importance of his Sabbath day. But the enemy wants to come along and constantly create a counterfeit to what God is has given us instruction on, just like the Garden of Eden. The devil comes along and he presents a counterfeit that has a half-truth to it. And so then we're still being deceived, but not by God, but we're allowing the devil to deceive us. Because if he says the Sabbath day, what day is the Sabbath day? Sir Benny, let me bring you in here. Let's just look at, can any day be the Sabbath? Because he gave the fourth commandment, he used the word remember for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this, that... I want to be clear, and I want to be clear for many reasons. He said it because he had a plan that he wanted man to have a day of rest. And I've gone back and forth. I've gone through toes, I can acknowledge the truth. I can acknowledge the truth and still operate in the blessings of God. So what I'm saying is, God say that every man shall come to the truth and the knowledge of God. Every man shall come to that truth. So what I'm saying is, I don't hold people accountable if they worship on a different day. I don't hold them in a sense of their being disobedient, because it says that if you're not aware of my truth, then I can't hold you accountable for that. But he said, in the last days, every man shall know the truth. So everybody's going to come to the truth and knowledge about what you just said. Has it happened yet? No. Is it happening? Yes. It is happening. And so I want us to be careful not to get too caught up on a truth and not understand the whole truth, because that is a truth, but it's not the whole truth, because God needs you to be complete and whole about everything you know about him and what he wants you to do in your life. He's not going to hold you in purgatory because you didn't do one thing. He's not. He loves you past that. That's why he said, if you make your bed in hell, I will be there with you.
Okay, so in that case, I mean, when I look at Leviticus, which I'm still researching Leviticus, and he emphasizes constantly about his Sabbath. And so I look at this and I say, well, if that's the case, Sir Benny, what you're saying, then nothing else. Or does anything else matter? We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Let me bring back in Sister Marva. Sister Marva, what do you think, yes, in your opinion, and we're all basically giving opinions here, do you think that God, I mean, there was a reason why he was specific when he said, remember? Do you think that,
yes,
there was a reason for that?
First of all, when he said remember, he was telling the brand-new Israelite nation that had just come from Egypt, where they worshiped everything that moved, you know, to remember the Sabbath day. And he wanted them to remember it, not just the day that he rested on, but that he's the creator. And he rested on that day. And whenever we rest on Sabbath, our minds are supposed to be in tune with the Creator. Did I answer that question properly?
Well, we certainly rendered your opinion. But so I'm looking at then, if that be the case, watch this now.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this now as he said that the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. But he says, I'm
That's
a Lord
right.
also of the Sabbath. And so now, mm-hmm. why was the Sabbath? And he went on to say that we should that God sanctified the Sabbath day. It was to be a day of rest, you know, to rejuvenate, to be recreated,
yes.
you know, with the understanding
mm-hmm.
of God. So then if that's the case, then would any day serve?
Well, it's any day could not serve because God said the seventh day. He is the creator. He said the seventh day. He says, my word that goes out of my mouth does not come back unto me void, or shall accomplish what I said it should do. And it will go where I said it should go. So for eternity and from the beginning until the end of time, whatever God says is what God says. He's not going to accept anything else.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by.
He doesn't change. He doesn't change.
All right. Miss J, thank you so much for your patience, Miss J.
We got to be careful because remember, it's the word. See, we forget that on the day of Pentecost, there were a whole bunch of disciples made that day, many thousands, and they all went to different lands to deliver the word. And the word came out in the Torah, in the Quran, in many, many different languages, many different other, all kinds of things. God was still being manifested in multiple different nationalities, different books, but it was still God. And so that's why I said we have to be careful because it is one God, but it's manifested in many different forms, many different ways, many different nationalities, many different everything.
So, Sir Ben, just before I bring in Miss J, just before I bring in Miss J, I want to ask this question then. If we're looking at, you know, the day of Pentecost, and we're looking at a bunch of disciples, you know, people that's going out to spread God's word, then let me, and I'm staying on the subject of the seat now, how we see the image of God in our mindset. Then, Sir Ben, without responding to this by saying it should not matter, and we all get that, then what color is Jesus?
Red and yellow, black and white.
Okay. So.
Can I answer that one?
Okay, all right. Give us some scriptures to support that if you do, though. Go ahead. And you know, without responding that it shouldn't matter, but go ahead and answer that to the best of your ability.
Best of my ability. In Revelation, it does say that Jesus, his complexion is like jasper.
Olive.
And jasper. Jasper is a kind of an orange brown color.
Okay. And it talks about his hair being like what?
Mm-hmm. Wool. Wool. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Talk about his hair being wool. So would you say that with those characteristics and Jasper being more on the colorful side, would you say, and then hair like wool, would you say that was necessarily, could that be a blonde, blue-eyed man? I'm just asking the question.
No.
Why not? Why not? So, but that's all the pictures, basically, for years that you see. So is that another ploy of the enemy to deceive?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sir Benny, was that you that, with the yes, or was that Sister Marva?
I think that was Sister Marva.
Yeah.
But again, I try to emphasize the point that we should not get stuck on semantics. We should stay focused on the overall picture. The overall picture is God loves us unconditionally, and he wants us to love him unconditionally so that we can have a forever life in on a new earth, and we can go to heaven and enjoy some of those wonderful, great things that we're going to have. That should be our only purpose. Everything else is sometimes semantics. You know, we get off on little stuff, you know. So we got to stay focused on the big picture.
Good point. Let me bring Sister, let me bring Miss J in. Miss J, I got to ask you this question. Let's just say you got a grandson that's now 13, and all that grandchild has ever seen in the church, a church full of, let's say, people of color, but you see a blonde, blue-eyed Jesus, and then he sees a man on the street and says, Mama, could that be Grandma? Could that be Jesus over there? You know, and it shows that these images of men who are not do not fit the description that the Bible gave. So what do you tell that grandchild? Don't focus on, you know, just focus on God loves you. But he wants to know something because that's all he's seen. But it doesn't seem like that Jesus, can he relate to me because he doesn't look like me? I don't see him looking like me because I've never seen no pictures like that. What do you tell your grandson, Miss Jane? Just ask.
Well, I would tell him, you know, that's the picture that man, in the Bible, that doesn't describe Jesus that way. That's the picture that man has given to him. God can be whatever color. In your mind, you want him to be. You can read the description in the Bible, but the color you see in the picture, son, is not the color of God. It's in your heart. Now, I can take you somewhere and show you different pictures of how man have displayed God. I would show him different pictures. You got the black, the red, the white, all the different colors, and show him that this is what man did. So, you know, you can read from the Bible, but the way, like Benny said, it's in your heart, and just remember that he loves you, whatever color he is. And I'm trying to explain it to him that way.
So then, Miss J, the question becomes, then Grandma, why is there so much confusion? And this is God who's supposed to have created it all and supposed to be really organized. Grandma, I'm confused now. How can he be this color and that color, you know, and we're supposed to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what we're talking about now. So why is there so much confusion, Grandma?
That's life. Don't concentrate that much on the pictures. I introduce him more to the Bible so he can read more. Don't concentrate on man's pictures. That's all I can tell him.
So then, Grandma, he asked you this question. Well, Grandma, what color do you see Jesus?
I see Jesus as the color of love, the color that I want him to be in my heart.
And what color is that, Grandma? Well, and that's a good point, but he says, what color is that, Grandma?
He's the color of me. He's the color of you. He's, you know, that's what color he is.
Okay. All right, Ms. J, thank you for that. Beverly, I want to bring you back in. The image of God. I mean, this is a deep one here tonight, and we're almost out of time. But listen, this is a deep one tonight. You know, the question is, what is your mind's image of who God the Trinity is? Now, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus left, he said, I will send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. You know, so now the Holy Spirit, so then there is a form of God in the Holy Spirit that's here on earth. Would you say that's fair to say, Beverly?
Yes, that Spirit is here.
So God is here in the Spirit that we're supposed mm-hmm. to worship him in spirit and in truth. What, if anything, does that mean to you to worship him in spirit and in truth? Those two things.
Well, I believe worshiping God in spirit and in truth is like, you know, when you start worshiping God from your heart, then your spirit man is what's starting to worship God, not your body. Your whole being start worshiping God. And, you know, you just have to be in that vivid imagination that there is God the Spirit, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit is with us. The Spirit of God is what is within us. There is a man spirit, and there is a Spirit of God that's within us. And when that Spirit is kindled up within us, I think that is when we really start reaching out in spirit to God the Spirit. I don't know if I'm making sense yet.
Well, if it makes sense to you, but the question becomes, you said that not worship him with our body, but worship him in spirit, with our spirit man or spirit
Yeah, because
woman.
If you're going to worship with the body, it's all flesh.
Okay, so then does that mean
worshiping?
That it doesn't mm-hmm. matter what I eat? It doesn't matter what I eat? It doesn't matter what I drink?
It does matter what you eat or drink. That is for your health. But then this body here is the flesh. This is just our suit that we wear. The spirit of man is our innate part where we can't see, but we know it is there. This is just, our outside is just a cloak that we wear. The inside man of us is what I think worship God with in spirit and truth.
Okay, so then that would suggest or possibly infer that our spirit never dies. Does it? And then
no,
the question becomes,
I'm sorry. No,
the
soul, which is the soul? The soul of man never died.
Okay, so then do we become aware? So if death is the last enemy of man, is it, I'm confused here now. If death is the last enemy of man, so if man dies, then or does man ever really die? Because if his spirit, his soul lives on, the question becomes, is he aware of the existence of his spirit or his soul? Sir Benny, let me bring you in for that one. What are your thoughts on that?
Well,
you might be on mute.
Spirit. The spirit, what does God say? He says that the body dies, but the spirit of man lives on forever. Until the day of judgment and Pentecost. I'm sorry, until the day of judgment. So when God says that men shall rise, it doesn't mean his physicality body. It means the spirit of man, the character of who he is, shall rise. That's what we're going to see because our bodies are going to be transformed. So the spirit doesn't die. It just stays in a stasis. It's like when we go to sleep. They always say, when you sleep, that's the closest thing to death because you don't know nothing. When a man dies, he knows nothing from that point. The spirit becomes dormant at that rate until God speaks and tells that spirit to rise. And that's like when Jesus died and the angels came, there were bodies walking around. There were dead people walking around. There were dead people walking around because when Gabriel came, It unleashed the power that there were people just walking around that were dead, that were previously dead. So
right.
The spirit has to be alive, even though death of the body has occurred, the spirit stays in what we call a sleep. It's just like
okay,
when we go to sleep.
Were those bodies simply, no, they couldn't have been, they had to be, the bodies that were alive, did a spirit come back into them as a resurrection that caused them to move about? Because, yeah, there were dead
yeah.
people walking around. But were they dead?
Yeah.
Or had they been dead?
Yeah.
They were dead.
Yes. And the same thing occurred with Lazarus. Matter of fact, it's so powerful that when Jesus said, Lazarus,
He had to be specific, because if he had just said arise, everybody in that graveyard would have got up.
Exactly.
So if that doesn't tell us that the spirit is asleep still, then how did Lazarus come? Oh, thank you, Holy Jesus. How did Lazarus
Amen.
Know how to respond to the voice of Jesus?
You're right.
When
You're
I
right.
heard
You're
your at- voice.
Right. God, Jesus was specific, because you're right. If he had said, come forth, then everybody in the grave would have come forth. But he was specific, and he was deliberate. This is a powerful one tonight, you all. The image, we're talking about the image of how you perceive God, the Trinity. I mean, if you're not taking anything else from this tonight, but the fact that God is so powerful, and let's talk about his power. Omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent. Let's go with that one there. His omnipotent. I mean, it's just omnipresent, omniscient. I mean, it's mind blowing. Sister Marva, I want to bring you in again and say, now, I mean, is this shedding any light, greater light for you in tonight's broadcast?
All right, sir, what do you want? Burberry?
Go ahead, Sister Marva.
Oh, yes, I'm learning. I'm learning a little bit of difference. It's pretty much the same as what I believe. I believe that God is all-powerful. And he can know everything, and he can be everywhere at the same time. I believe that what he says goes, and he does it for a reason. What was the other question?
Is there anything that you're taking from tonight's broadcast that gives you a greater light, perhaps, on the image of who God the Trinity is?
No, not necessarily, because everything that was said, especially by Pastor Benny, seemed to be true, as far as I know, except the keeping of the Sabbath. Because let's say we went to heaven, and we're all there, and we're Baptists and Methodists and everybody, and everybody wants to keep their own day of worship. God is not like that. He's systematic. So we would all be worshiping him on the same day, the same time. I don't think that, well, I feel like worshiping on Wednesday. Okay, so let's go do that. I believe that the Sabbath day is what God said. And even though man is doing his own thing, he hasn't changed his mind. God doesn't change his mind. The few times we found that God repented was Moses had to beg him, please don't kill these people. You know,
I remember that.
He says something, it's like my father would say something and he's not repeating it, he's saying it one time.
Uh-huh.
And you tremble, you know, and you don't do it. He, because you know he's going to come down here. But he's loving. He's a loving father. But, you know, to each his own. We have to read the Bible and come to our own understanding. And to worship God in spirit and truth, Jesus is truth and the Holy Spirit. So when we worship God, we ask the Holy Spirit to bring Jesus to us, and
we worship God that way. Because even when we pray, we say we're praying in through Jesus, because Jesus says no one comes to the Father but by me. So the Holy Spirit dwells in us, who carries our prayers to Jesus, who presents them to the Father.
All right. We're going to ask the standby for Marvra.
Yes, sir.
Let me bring in Miss J. Miss J, we've said a lot tonight on tonight's broadcast. I mean, and I believe you can feel the passion and the tension, positive energy. That's what I mean by the tension, the positive energy that's flowing in tonight. Would you say that there's anything that you're taking from this that has shed even a greater light to you tonight, Ms. Jane?
Well, pretty much I knew what, you know, we were talking about, and I've learned so much too. But one thing that I would take away from it, and I think about it a lot, how God, you know, how he's love, and how we just got this saying about how he's capable of being everywhere and anytime. He's all-knowing and all-seeing, and he's so knowledgeable beyond our own comprehension. And just, you know, to conform ourselves in his image, in the image of Jesus, you know, just doing the way Jesus lived his life, the way we conform ourselves through his image, I see it as being through our thoughts and our words and actions. And that's how we can live in his image. And that's what I pretty much got from this. I really want to stress and lean on a little more.
Right. And, you know, for me, what I take from tonight's broadcast reconfirms, you know, my prior knowledge and even enriches further knowledge, and that is the knowledge of how much God loves us, how much he loves us, and that, you know, the battle that's been going on is a battle between, and not against flesh and blood, not against us. It's a battle in spiritual places, you know, in higher places that was never our battle. And I think Yolanda Adams said it best, she sang that song, that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. And death is the last enemy of man. The last enemy of man. Because this is, Sir Ben said earlier, I believe we were created to live forever. And because of sin has caused the degradation of everything. And it's the enemy that set out to want to deceive and divide and destroy and conquer. And that's been his ploy. So the battle is really with Lucifer trying to prove the guiltiness of God, which he will not be able to do. So whenever Lucifer sets something out as a half-truth, God turns that thing around, because it says all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. And we just got to be able to trust, even when it comes to death of our loved ones. I believe, this is just me now, that if we believed in Jesus Christ, if we believed in God, you know, John 3:16, that I believe that we will see our loved ones again. When you think about it, it's too perfect. The creation just of earth where we reside, where this is our domicile, this is our home, is too perfect. It's too perfect. It's part of a system, an organized system. It's like science. Science, when I used to teach science is an organized collection of knowledge about the world around us. That's what science is, and it's forever changing. But see, God has created a system that even science can't even fully understand. They're discovering more planets out there. See, God is so great because in his infinity, his never-ending intelligence, I believe he's still creating. And I believe that when the time comes for us to be reconnected in his presence, I believe we're going to be forever learning and we're going to be forever fascinated about how powerful his love has been. Let me bring in Sister Marjorie. Sister Marjorie, thank you for your patience. We're almost out of time. Give me your thoughts on how much God loves us.
God loves us. He died for us. For John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And when he was being crucified on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone. So he loved us a lot. So he gave his life for us.
And
he knew no sin, and he died for us.
And even in that love for mankind, God,
yes.
Jesus even asked the Father, please,
yes.
What? Forgive
them.
He asked them what? Forgive
them.
Please
forgive them, yes.
But they know not what they do.
Yes.
So, I mean, that is love beyond
yes.
measure. That is love beyond, yes, beyond human understanding.
Yes.
Sir Ben, we're going to bring you in and give us your final thoughts for the evening, and we'll close that out with what you're saying. You might be on mute. Sir Ben?
Okay, I'm here. I just simply want to say that
Sir Ben? All right, perhaps we're having some technical difficulty there. All right, Ben, as I close us out tonight, I want to be able to say that if you took nothing away from this tonight, you know, I want you to just reflect on, you know, the next time you see a sunrise, the next time you witness, you know, the sun shining in the day, whether it's the afternoon, the next time you witness the moonlight, the next time you witness or experience the air, just a breeze that passes you. You see a tree. You see a blue sky, an orange sky, white clouds, or yellow clouds. The next time you see another human being, the next time you breathe a breath of air, when you start to experience all of this as you're there, you know, I want you to reflect that. Every breath that you take in, you're breathing what God has breathed into your nostrils, the breath of life, and that he's with you because his breath resides in you. And just know that he will never forsake you or never leave you because you're breathing. Every breath you take is his breath. The eyes that you see, he's given you to enjoy the beauty of the daylight, to enjoy the beauty of the lesser light of the moonlight that he created. When you see the ocean waves and the lakes and the canals, you know, and the greenery, the mountain. And you know what? If you think that there's no God, just go and look some of this stuff up. Look at mountains. Look at snow. Look at rain. This is all part of a perfect organized system. And just like with sin, there's a degradation that's causing change. But listen, there's a system that's even greater than the system that we're able to see with the naked eye. There's a system that goes beyond that, goes beyond our own human understanding. So I want you to realize that as you reflect on knowing that God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. And if you take nothing else from this, know that God in the Trinity is God the Father, is God the Son, is God the Holy Ghost. All three wrapped up in one. that share the same knowledge and are on one accord. Listen, we're clearly out of time. I certainly trust that this program has been a blessing to you as much as it has been to me. We're going to invite you to join us tomorrow morning for your miracle prayer day. Listen, if you're going to miss a show, you probably would have wanted to miss tonight's broadcast, but you certainly don't want to miss tomorrow's miracle prayer day. We're going to be having people that give their praise reports, and I will be one of those people giving my praise report, the miracle that I've even experienced within the last couple of weeks. Let me tell you something. You all don't want to miss tomorrow morning's program. It's a little early, but you know what? To get up to meet God early in the morning is not so bad. He will fulfill your day. We'll join us here tomorrow morning on the same station at 6:30 in the morning, from 6:30 to 8:30. We have a dynamic speaker that's going to be bringing us the message tomorrow. You don't want to miss her. A very powerful woman. And let me tell you, if you're having problems logging in, you can send me a text. We're also going to be backed up by Zoom. So send me a text tonight if you have my number, or Ms. Woodbury. You can get in touch with her, and we'll give you the Zoom information as well if you can't log in. Listen, we're out of time. Join us here tomorrow morning. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, join us back here. Join us next Thursday for the Dr. Fish Walk Show, or join us next Friday for your one-hour inspiration program. Until tomorrow morning or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker, and good night, Dr. Block, and everyone on the call. May God bless you all. Keep safe and be blessed. Hi. Love you all. Have
love
a good
you
night.
All, too. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye. Great show as usual.